Hey, this is Ryan, and you're listening to Conspiracy Beer Me.
Let's get this party going.
Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And I'm Sam Azzani. What it do?
What it do?
What's up? Coming at you early this week.
Yeah, yes. Friday.
It's a cold, brisk Friday here in Raleigh, North Carolina.
It's a little nippy here, too.
Freezing my ass off.
53 degrees in Raleigh. It's great. We're doing it now.
Yep.
I'm drinking the kombucha.
I am drinking seltzer water because I threw up in the shower this morning. And I was like,
why? From booze?
No, I think it was the fact that I was on that Claritin D and that shit fucked me up. And then I didn't eat anything. And then I was like, man, I'm never taking that stuff. Yeah.
This is a roundabout way of saying from booze.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But Claritin D sucks.
Because I took a bunch of Claritin on the booze I drank.
I had a CBD water last night, and I was like, okay, this is... Gross.
Did it do anything? I slept
like a baby, but...
This shit's like stupid as hell. Unless a CBD company wants to sponsor us, then it's really cool.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah. How's it going?
My brother sent me a ton of CBD. He sent me a bunch of CBD hand sanitizer.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
At the beginning of the pandemic.
Make your hands limp and tired?
It's quite possibly the dumbest product to get CBD into. But yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. What were you saying, Justin?
I was saying comedy's back here in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I did comedy for the first time on stage since COVID.
Double dipped into open mics last night with new material. And it was like... We're almost back.
Man. I yelled at an audience member. It was awesome.
It was great.
I got two shows tonight.
Oh yeah,
two spots in the big old titty.
Yeah.
If you guys are in the city, you can see me performing outside the Brooklyn Museum, which is kind of depressing, honestly. I'll be just standing outside, telling jokes.
Sidewalk show.
It's like they have like a weird like a little amphitheater in front.
Where is that at? Brooklyn.
The Brooklyn Museum.
Yeah, but it's in Manhattan.
It's next to Prospect Park.
Oh, I love Prospect Park.
Yeah, beautiful. Man, used to do races by there.
Great,
Jason,
great
right?
heroin. Yes. Yeah, great heroin.
So I'll ride my bike to the old Brooklyn Museum, do a quick bomb there, boop, 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 bop. Ride my bike back to the tiny cupboard, do a big bomb up on the roof, big, bing, bing, bang. Hopefully I'll get somebody take some photography. There's a photographer there. I'm just going to pretend it's going well the whole time.
Oh, that's good.
Get some good pics.
Yeah, just put a smile on your mask. Post
all you need.
You're having a great time.
Yeah, post the pics on Instagram and go, look at me, I'm the best. Let me get on your show.
Yeah, did I say that on a pod once? Like, I don't even need to do stand-up anymore. I just post a picture of me at a show and people think I'm doing it there.
That's most
of what stand-up is, right?
If every professional photographer shot that you can get of you in New York equals 10 more spots.
Is that
really?
Right?
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, wow. So cool. Look at how hippie. Everybody in New York tries to be like hot and fuckable while they do stand up, which is like,
That's why I got into stand up because I'm not hot and fuckable.
Exactly.
You're a fucking clown. Put the makeup on your face and talk about farts.
That's right. I'm like, I gotta fix my teeth if I'm gonna stay in comedy.
Oh man, you ever have like a hard time keeping track of all the girls you're fucking? Boo!
I've got some shows down at the beach coming up on Memorial Day weekend. If you live down the coast of North Carolina, I'll announce those at a later date.
And our live show's been moved. So what's the date for the
August 12th?
August 12th. Sam will be in Raleigh.
I'll be there in person.
Yeah.
And I'll be at the Idiot Box on May 11th. Please. And I'll be at Good Nights Comedy Club on May 12th.
Please come and shoot me.
Oh yeah.
Do the thing. What happened to, who's the guy that was trying to kill somebody for, that actress lady?
Sirhan.
You're talking about
Spacey.
Oh, you're talking about who killed John Lennon. That was for,
Someone do that to me.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. Yeah, it may be me.
Who was the actress?
Jodie Foster. And she was like 12 at the time. He's like, this is going to be for her.
Yeah, someone tried to kill me in honor of the girl from Stranger Things.
Yeah, she's like 30 now.
Seven? That girl?
Yeah, 11.
Yeah, her name is 11. And I was 30 on the show.
Oh, yes.
They made an Indian remake of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And the girl's name is 7-Eleven. Thank you, everybody. That's all my time. My God. Thank you, guys. I've been Sam Mazzani. That's all my time.
That hurts my family's feelings.
Oh, come on. We're having a good time.
Oh, yeah, I can't say anything based on the joke I told last night.
They made a remake of Stranger Things, and they're doing it in Afghanistan, and they're calling it.
9/11.
And the girl's name? 9/11. Thank you, everybody. That's my time. Thank you, guys. Everybody. That's my time.
That's my
time. Okay. What else is going on?
Patreon news.
Actually
big Patreon
patron
news.
We got a couple big. First of all, patron of the week, Ryan S., longtime listener, early first adopter, first time patron. No, he's been a patron for a while. Longtime patron, friend of you guys, but actually has stuck around. A lot of our friends listen, but they don't support. He supports.
No, he's organically. It's someone that found us through the quality of the podcast.
And he's stuck around because of the quality of podcast, which I appreciate. Yes. And you got to get on that. Like last week, we did a story. We unlocked a mystery of a Egyptian cave in the Grand Canyon explains why mummies are testing positive for cocaine in Egypt, right?
Yeah. So like Sam got a good bit out of it. You'll see it on our TikTok. We got a TikTok now. Yeah. We haven't put anything up yet, but you'll see stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Follow us on TikTok.
So sign up for the Patreon. And if you guys don't want the free extra four episodes a week, if you're gonna want the back catalog, you gotta move to the Patreon. All of the old free episodes will be moving to the Patreon starting the end of the month. So this is very important. If you want to archive the free episodes, they will be available till the end of the month on all of your podcast platforms. And then at that point,
30 days.
Yeah. At that point, they will be removed and it will be the 10 most recent episodes will be up.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you go, what the heck? This is basically what Joe Rogan does, dude. I mean,
Joe Rogan, Maron does this.
And you think they need money more than we do?
Not a chance.
If anybody, they should be
$5 a month.
They make so much money now that they should start putting the episodes back.
They should.
They should go, listen, I don't need, come on.
Well, this week on the show, we're going to talk about one of
sign up for the Patreon if you want a back catalog of 100 plus episodes and 40 extra Patreon episodes, and you'll get
they're great. I promise you the Patreon episodes alone are worth it. Very back catalog. Great. And this week we're going to talk about the most important cryptid in the entire pantheon of cryptozoology.
Do you want to talk about Bill Gates first?
But before we get to main topic, and again, if you're watching us on YouTube,
cryptid of them all, Bill Gates. Fucked up looking wife.
Shots fired.
I think his girlfriend is more fucked up looking, dude. His mistress looked like until you guys pointed her out to me this before the show. And
I don't like to comment on the appearance of women, but but then they did my boy old William. They did my boy Windows Millennium Edition wrong, and I refuse.
I just associate mistresses with being more attractive than your spouse. That's just what I think about.
Well, I think, you know, maybe when you have such a big brain, maybe it's an intellectual mistress.
Yeah, maybe Bill Gates. I would assume Bill Gates would be more attracted to smarter than hotter.
Why would you know? I think smart guys find themselves in a position where they're worth billions and all of a sudden hot girls want them. And they're just like,
I mean, yeah, almost 100% positive Bill Gates does not have sex. I feel like when you reach like a certain level of intelligence, you just realize that sex is just in the way.
I don't know, man.
I realized that when I was 4, but I'm also addicted.
Why would I have sex with somebody for 10 to 15 minutes when I can make myself nut in 15 seconds to get back to reading about poverty? See, he realizes, he understands how much
time is money.
Yeah. If he has sex for 15 minutes, that cost him like $1 billion.
Yeah.
Obviously that math is not right.
but it sounded close.
So you see that nut that cost me $250 million worth of time.
It's an expensive nut.
What's the saying? If Bill Gates is walking down the street,
I don't know,
and sees nut on the ground, it's worth less for him to pick it up than
put it over his face.
Yeah.
See, the problem with Bill Gates is that he's like, I could be having sex billions. Or I could be reading three different books about diarrhea at the same time.
Yeah.
He loves diarrhea, dude. My guy.
Maybe she's just better with that business. Diarrhea? Yeah, maybe he's a scat guy.
You think she's just
gross?
Like,
no.
Just spray, she just
look, this is not the worst segue.
Oh man, this episode sucks.
Yeah,
the big theory.
On this. Yes,
the big theory with Bill and Melinda's divorce is that Jizzy Lane's Maxwell's court documents are about to be unsealed, and apparently, Bill Gates was a lot cozier with Jeffrey Epstein than he originally let on to Melinda.
No.
And apparently Melinda is like, I can't stand for this. And she's out because of
I can't stand for people knowing about this.
Yeah. I wonder if it was like, cause the headline was like, she was uncomfortable when they met. And I wonder if it was cause like, old Jeffrey was like, Bill, my old buddy, it's been too long since we've been on the island and
having sex with kids.
Yeah. Like, play it cool, Jeffrey.
God, man. Remember we used to hang out and have sex with kids? Good times. Anyway, is this your wife?
Yeah.
Well, that's
anyway, nice to meet you, Melinda. I've seen you done a lot of great work with diarrhea as well as my friend.
Well, also, you know, as we alluded to earlier, Bill Gates also spent a
I don't think he has sex. I really don't think he has sex.
Why would he have a love nest in the Outer Banks?
Because it's for reading books and being weird.
Maybe they have a composting toilet and he's curious.
They went, they went hang gliding. They were riding dune buggies.
Damn.
You don't ride a dune buggy in a platonic relationship.
I don't know.
I mean,
they did that in Mad Max.
I mean, yeah, that's a post-apocalyptic world, man. I mean, Bill Gates is the first to die during the apocalypse. He has no value
Imagine being in the Outer Banks and you're like just like some dumpy, like sunburnt skin fat family. And you show up to the fucking dune buggy excursion place and
oh hi, you guys are also here for the dune buggy.
Like, where do I know this weird curved the frog guy from? And they're like, it's me from Windows Phone.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the
call me Billy.
But there's
also,
another
have you had any diarrhea lately? Could you maybe show me it or describe it to me and tell me how you're feeling?
Well, the other theory out there is that this Ghislaine Maxwell theory is a smokescreen, because what's really going on is that Bill and Melinda Gates are getting divorced so that a judge will liquidate their stocks and they can avoid security inside trading rules and divest themselves of the stock market prior to what is going to be a catastrophic failure in the markets.
Smart.
And so they're like, this is what really rich, wealthy people do, is their financial advisors like, we'll start selling our stock. And he's like, you can't do that without filing, you know, a 10Q or an 8K
or a 7B.
And you're like, and if you do that, the stock's going to plummet because everyone's going to know you're getting out. And he's like, well, then what can we do? And he's like, you got to get rid of that wife of yours.
Yeah. He's like, okay.
He's like, yeah.
Wow, it sounds like their financial advisor just wants to fuck Melinda Gates.
No, best thing, Bill. Yeah,
you're going to need to do is get divorced and then let me have sex with your wife.
Different than
Bezos.
What does
it have to do with any of my finances? And they're like, he's like, just fuck your wife.
Bezos' ex-wife, she was pretty cool because all of a sudden she became like the third richest woman in the world.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
And
I mean,
she was like,
always the third richest woman in the world because a woman's work is just as valuable as what Jeff Bezos done.
Well,
why would you even want half of his wealth? Like, you really want to take half the credit for just the misery this man?
That was just the deal. I think that was just the prenup.
Yeah,
he signed.
I'm just saying. Also, he signed a prenup for that.
Yeah, you want that legacy? Like, it's like if you were back in the day.
Well, I'm just saying, what kind of bad prenup lawyer did Jeff Bezos get? Like, hey, I worked out a great deal. When you guys get divorced, she's going to get half. You're like, why did I hire you? I don't need it. That's what she gets by default.
Bezos has that bad eye. He probably just didn't notice with that bad eye.
Yeah. Does he have a bad eye?
Haven't you seen he always has one squinty eye?
Yeah.
Oh, is that? He's like, is that?
I just think it's not a villain. I just think it's fun when a wife just divorces a billionaire and all of a sudden she becomes a billionaire. You know,
shouldn't there be a cap?
No, why? No, it doesn't matter.
I think there should be a cap on his wage, yeah, too, but there should definitely be a cap on how much a half is.
No, that's, marriage. I mean, no. Why would there be a cap? You know, it doesn't matter how much you're worth. You're worth half.
I guess it just becomes nonsensical when it just...
It's when it's just billions, it's just hilarious.
He should just not have that much money.
Right. And then she gave away. She's like, I'm giving away all my money except for $1 billion. So she's giving away like $39 billion.
What's the interest on
to her credit?
That's still fucking
it's still
greedy.
Insane. Yeah, it's still greedy. Yes, I get it. I just think it's hilarious that's what
drop
she's
it saying. Drop it down to 100 mil, dude.
But she was smart about it. She's giving it away like almost entirely to Black people. So she's
that's
like,
good.
She well, is gonna, she's going to be.
I don't know if a lot of people
well
know this,
loved.
But I'm Black. Come and let her know that.
Give it away to historically Black colleges. University. We're okay. Let's pivot to
all
our
right, let's
topic
get
today.
Into it.
I'm going to roll in NC North Carolina A&T and try to see if I can get just send her my transcript and just see if she never looks me up.
Like, you're going to start your own HBCU
yeah.
in your building. That's cool. All right. Loch Ness. One of the
highly Black college and highly Black college. Like, I don't think that's what that means. This is a highly Black
we
college
only accept
slash
highly Black students. Super Blacks.
All right.
One of the cryptids we've never discussed is the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm. Old Nessie.
Probably the most famous cryptid. I think we've had this debate before, but either Bigfoot, Yeti, Skunk Ape, or Loch Ness has got to be
Which is weird because I feel like Loch Ness has the least amount of credible information, like credible evidence.
Right. Oh, no, yeah, the guys that did it said they hoaxed it, the original
like,
photo.
There was like, it was me,
oh,
with
no,
a,
no, no,
me
that's...
sticking my hand out of the water. No. And we took it, we shot it with a potato.
See this? Can't tell the scale.
It's a puppet. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But listen, there is more credible evidence to Loch Ness than most people realize. Okay. Some of it extremely credible, but there's been a recent development that I think merits a relook at this this potential cryptid. And I did read this having had a what was his name? Stormbringer. What was that guy's name that came on our show? The crypto
Stormbringer.
Oh, the professor.
The professor. Yeah, what was his name?
Anthony
cool Stackhouse.
Stackhouse.
Stormbringer.
Yeah.
Clearly we made good friends.
I knew it was a cool name. I just didn't. Okay. Well, Stackhouse, if you didn't hear our episode on Bigfoot, we had a zoologist turned cryptozoologist on the show, and he gave me a really interesting perspective on actual science. And so I did look at this with a little scientific lens, but let's start with the history of the Loch Ness Monster, which I think most people know is named for the location where it was first spotted. That's the Loch Ness. That's just, you know, the Scottish lake. It's in the Scottish Highlands, and it really came to worldwide attention in 1933, although that's not the first time there were reports of it.
No.
The oldest report of the Loch Ness Monster goes back to the 6th century with a traveling Irish monk who was walking along the River Ness, which feeds right from the ocean into Loch Ness.
Okay.
And a man was dragged underwater by a, quote, water beast. And so he sent one of his followers, his disciples, across the river to save him. And the beast approached him, and he did some religious hocus pocus, held up a cross, and the beast relented and he saved the man.
Oh, so the beast cannot handle the cross.
Yeah, the beast is,
Could be a vampire.
Well, or it could just be a dumb made up story by
that vampire. Plausible.
That's always what I feel like those guys did back in the day. I mean, it was just easy to pull off a miracle in the 6th century.
Telling a cool tall tale.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way to verify any of that.
Yeah,
it's like the Kid of his day.
Right. I mean, you know, like how like a cold or a fever kind of lasts a couple days.
Sure.
Yeah, I had one this week.
I just feel like you call the priest. He comes in a day and a half into the fever and he's like, says some prayers and you feel better the next day. And he's just like, the Lord. Well, because
it takes a while for him to even get there.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to send a herald out. He's like, the boy is sick.
Conference doctor on a plane. Are there any doctors in this shire?
You're right. They just show, by the time it takes him to get on the horse and travel, they're like, Hail Mary, full of grace, you'll be fixed tomorrow. And the kid's like, I actually kind of already feel better. Like, the Lord is already working his magic. I felt better before I even got here. Like, the sickness felt my presence drawing nearer to your abode.
That's what this early account, I think. But in the 1870s, there were reports of something quite large churning up the surface of Loch Ness. It appeared in several reports in newspapers in the 1870s. But it was in 1933 that there was the first credible sighting of something abnormal in Loch Ness. And it's the first newspaper article that described it as a monster. It also called it a whale and a beast. And it wasn't long after that same year, 1933, we have our first photograph of something peculiar in the water, which is pretty, 1933 seems like a long time ago to have a personal camera.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
Some of that Kendrick song's about something in the water.
Look at Barnabas and his real cool, expensive photography machine.
Got it all the way from Japan.
Showing off.
Shane, you're a camera buff.
His backpack-sized camera.
I'm a camera buff? No, I'm not. But okay.
No, Shane is.
Oh, am I? Cool.
I don't know. I mean, you got a bunch of cameras in your house.
Yeah, I just got a bunch of cameras.
I'm buff in front of the camera.
But when was the guy, you know, like the old days where the guy had the little black thing he had to put over it and he had like the...
Oh, yeah, and the flash bulb and stuff. That was probably like the 1800s, right?
So what's a camera like in 1933?
Probably a pinhole camera, right?
I know they had one of those in the King Kong movies. So whenever King Kong was around.
Oh, that was the 30s. Yeah, that was it. Because if you think about the 30s, the press guys are like, hey, that's 1930.
Back when there was a 40-foot ape on a lost island.
The movie. Yeah, I remember Jack Black had to run around with one of those in the remake.
Oh, yeah, it looked real heavy.
Get a picture of the King Kong. Yeah. And someone's hair would catch on fire from the phosphorus bulb.
Michael Jackson.
Think probably a pinhole camera, I would think. But even
pinhole camera.
Yeah, which you can make in any high school class with a soda can and a pin.
Well, that's,
imagine
that's,
if we had a cell phone exactly that way, and the only thing that didn't, we had cell phones the way they are, but the only thing that didn't advance was the camera technology. Yeah. So setting it up and I was like, I don't even know.
He's like, I'm bored of that rip.
the 1934, after the 1933, is a motorcyclist driving along the lock at 1 a.m. in the morning almost hits the monster.
Now, why aren't they motorbikelists?
Motorbikes.
Yeah, those go motorcycles.
But why don't they call them motorbikes? Because we have bicycles.
It's just kind of
a motorized bicycle.
It's very clumsy.
It just doesn't roll.
Motorbikelist. I think motorbikelist sounds funny.
It is funny.
More fun.
This motorcyclist claims he almost hit the creature in a moonlit night. So he's like, it's pretty clear what I saw. And what he described is a plesiosaurus type animal, long neck, small head. And he was a veterinary student, so he's like, I know animals. And so he sketched it out. He did a sketch out, and the zoologists were there like, dude, that's an otter. Like, you just drew an otter.
Did
he
giant otter?
School? A giant otter, yeah.
Did they kick him out of school?
That seems appropriate.
He's like, I'm a big zoologist, and I can't identify this. They're like, that's a dog. And he's like,
never been out of shapes.
Is this bad? Am I going to get kicked out of school?
And as you guys rightly mentioned, after 1934,
I'm a motorbikelist.
I mean, it becomes somewhat of a huge phenomena, this Loch Ness monster character. So people are just out in droves looking for this thing, and they all have their cameras and photos of Loch Ness became incredibly popular as well as lucrative. Therefore, it led to what ultimately were some spectacular hoaxes. And the one that The really famous one, that 1934, is that one where you can see the neck and the head of the Loch Ness.
Right.
But that's like a stick. It's you don't see the scope and scale of the photograph. That's like a right. tiny part of a small thing. And in fact, later zoologists analyzed that and they said that looks remarkably like a seal's penis.
Whoa,
which is awesome.
Just getting it some air.
Just boning up like you do sometimes.
Doing the backstroke, just turgid as hell.
You gotta whip the old thing out.
Well, big of a dick?
No, it's a very that's what I'm saying. The scale is off.
Small.
Oh. I mean,
yeah, it's like forced perspective. It's like a Will Ferrell and elf.
I thought
it looks like the guy's like leaning against it. But
I thought, although I would say that, as I understand it, marine mammals have notorious long penises because
whales and the zero G's.
No, well, maybe, but I think it's because of they have sex. They have to have it doggy style.
Whaley style.
They don't face each other and look into each other's eyes deeply. Whales?
No.
That kind of makes me sad.
Yeah.
Pretty,
are you coming?
It?
No, I just talk like this.
I think penis size is all related to how close the vagina is to the genitals.
And so I guess what you're saying is if more people in my family had doggy style sex, I wouldn't be.
Well, if it was harder to reach, if it was harder to reach, the penis would grow to reach.
I was real unpopular with the ladies as a child, which means I had to grow to reach them.
Man, yeah. You'd be fucking a bitch and you feel like your dick standing on his tippy toes.
Yeah.
trying to get to the top shelf above the refrigerator.
So there is, as technology advanced, there people begin to try to apply new technologies to prove or disprove the existence of the Loch Ness monster.
Yes.
So in 1967, the first sonar study was done of Loch Ness. And so they just drove around. They just bounced sonar. And then they got these big objects bouncing back. And they were like, we found it. And so they were tracking this giant object. And they're like, it's coming to the surface. Get your cameras ready. And it was just a big school of fish.
So they had bad sonar.
All with their dicks out.
It was 67, man. a bunch of seals come up and are just like,
they're like, fuck. Shouldn't have got the whole goddamn news crew here.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
So they then went back out. Now they knew what fish looked like. So now they're like, okay, we're not looking for that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Then they found something.
Maybe
did
we should
find
have figured
something.
That out before we told everybody.
Yeah, let's do some tests first.
Yeah, there's some fish in there. Like, okay, that's what fish look like.
Well, they went out and they did find another large object that did not move like a school of fish. And they were like, that could be, we don't know what that is. Okay. We know what fish are like. So, okay, that was 67. Then a guy came along and founded an institute dedicated to the study and discovery of Loch Ness, named Robert Rhines. And like, he literally spent 35 years of his life trying to find evidence of this.
Wasted.
So he
holy fuck.
Yeah. I it was pretty striking. And
yeah,
I mean, I think it.
it's nauseating. It kind of makes
I think at some
up.
Point, at some point he started
like
giving
four
tours.
Years of a conspiracy podcast. I'm like,
God damn. Fuck. 35 years, guys. We're going to make it big eventually.
Guys, yeah. He's in here.
Well, he's running tours. He has a boat.
He's just
going to
give up now, 35 years in.
Well, he captured
I'm basically there.
Yeah, come on. Join the Patreon. It'll help me keep searching.
We basically going to find him.
Well, he did capture an underwater photo of a rhomboid flipper.
I think that's a rhombus shape.
Damn, that kept him going for another 20 years.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Yeah.
He's like, dude, we just found that rhomboid flipper. Like, that was back in 2002. He's like, oh, shit, really? Oh, my God.
But he also captured.
Listen, we'll find him.
Underwater images, stills of unknown animals that did look like plesiosaurus. Like, so like to this day, those are not identified pictures. Some people are just like, we're not, we don't know what we're seeing. And he's like,
is he, dude, I guess dead animals float to the bottom.
Or sink to the bottom.
What animals? Yes.
Yeah.
Float to the bottom.
Yes, that is correct.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
I guess like when a fish dies, it sinks.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, Loch Ness is pretty deep.
Yeah, it's one of the deepest places on Earth, right?
Yeah, it is one. It's extremely deep, extremely dark, extremely cold. And I think a lot of stuff would get eaten before it hit the bottom. But I think you're right, Sam. I mean, it ends up on the bottom, right?
Yeah. I just was wondering if you'd catch one washing up on the shore.
Oh, would you catch a dead one up on the shore?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
not.
Like kind of the way we see like giant squids once in a while.
Yeah, like a whale.
Yeah, a whale.
It's pretty rare though, right? And we know whales exist.
True.
Right.
So it's, I mean, well, in 2001, Robert Rhines and his crew filmed a verifiable film of a V-shaped wave moving through windless day
so stupid.
At abnormal speeds.
Okay. Just,
and then
that guy was like, I'm back.
And then, Sam, to your point, they filmed a decaying carcass at the bottom of the loch, huge carcass of an unknown animal.
Okay.
And then most importantly, and I think this is probably the best evidence, is that they found marine clamshells and other organisms living, the remains of clamshells, marine clamshells, which means that something had access to the ocean, a link to the ocean that they did not think possible.
Yeah, and he's got a raw bar down there.
Yeah, I got a raw bar special.
That's right. Yeah. Here's a question. The whole V shape moving in formation,
yeah.
Do waterfowl migrate in a V formation across lakes?
Yeah, after watching the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
No, I don't think any waterfowl migrate via water.
That would be the best. God, this is taking forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey guys, you think we could maybe fly or we're waterfowl?
No.
This is our home.
We're gonna swim with our little flippers.
Yeah.
What do you think, we're regular fowl?
1987.
What's a fowl? Is that just any bird, or
that's
is it
a bird?
Chicken?
Yeah, birds are fowl, bird. Right?
Fair fowl is fair. Fair is fowl.
Yeah.
1987. They did Operation Deep Scan throughout, and this was great. I love this because this is such a redneck's way of trying to find Loch Ness. They took 24 boats across the entire length. You know, spread out across the entire length of Loch Ness. And they're like, we're all going to do echo sounding down.
I wonder if them doing that all simultaneously might have an effect on each other's ability.
I know, right? Yeah.
So they literally were like, all right, with this plan. So they all echo sounded. And when they got back, they were like, there's something unusual down there, like unusual size. But this is what was weird. They described it as unusual size and strength, which I was like, how did they know its strength?
Because he was punching the waves back.
There's some trying to track bending a steel beam. You're like, whoa, what the hell is this thing?
Somebody's bench pressing a lot of weight down there.
Someone was bullying him down there. Yeah. It didn't even faze him.
Problem is that the definitive take on Loch Ness came in 2018. And this is where Loch Ness really took a hit in the scientific community because there were all these sort of puzzle pieces. But in 2018, some people came up and they're like, we have an idea to figure out if this is possible. Is they took like a 20 or maybe a 200 liter sample of water from another loch nearby. A loch did not have rumors of a monster in it.
No Ness.
And then they took a sample from Loch Ness, and then they ran it through a DNA thing that could test for every type of DNA found in that water. Everything.
CSI Loch Ness.
And the theory is that
that sounds like a fake machine, but okay.
Well, they were testing for any, so they found all kinds of remnants of animals, and you know, you only need like a cell in
a little
there.
Speck.
Yeah, and so they found, not only did they not find any unknown DNA, the DNA that they found in Loch Ness matched the DNA they found in the non-Ness. And they didn't even find any DNA that would be consistent with a reptile. So they're like, we know everything that's in here.
Well, that was a bad idea if we wanted to keep this movement going.
Should have started that one.
And all the people that built the tourist industry around Loch Ness were like, thanks a lot, science.
Jerks.
So it really killed off.
Like, they don't know what they're talking about. Forget them anyway.
It's about belief.
I'm pretty sure that they're still in there. We don't even know if it is a reptile. So maybe they... Anyway, would anybody like to buy a plushie?
Yeah. This what happened is when this evidence came out, like science really took it as like, now we have definitive proof that there is not or never has been any kind of unknown reptile living in Loch Ness.
Scientists fun.
We need more fun. Really, we need more stack houses in the world.
They really do feel like they're just like living for the sea.
Told you so. Nobody likes it. Told you so.
Nothing whimsical has ever existed in this world. It's just a painful existence of just everything real that we know is real, and there's no such thing as imagination or fun.
Who? You know, the scientists that took over were psychologists.
That seems weird.
And they coined a phrase because psychologists had become interested in these phenomena where, like, there were so many sightings. I mean, there's a registrar that you like, if you go to Loch Ness and you have a sighting, like you can follow this protocol and you can document it. And there's thousands of documented stories of people.
But this sounds like when you go panning for gold in the mountains and they just throw a little piece in there. Like, I did this.
Hi, my name's Sam Azani. I just moved into the neighborhood. I just wanted to, I'm legally obligated to let you know that I'm, on the Loch Ness registry. And, I just need you to know that. So if you have any Loch Nesses in your back, like, I won't do anything. It's been a really long time, but
I can't be 100 feet from a Loch.
you're some Scottish college kid who's going to work at a Loch Ness resort, and then like your job is like, all right, Danny, today's your day to dress up like the monster.
Yeah,
get in that damn freezing water and swim around and let people see your humps. And that's just like that.
Your humps.
Every few weeks, you just got to have some kid just swim out there with a costume on to keep the shit rolling, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised there haven't been more accents this episode. Good job, Justin.
It's not really fair that I'm on the Loch Ness Registry, to be honest. I mean, like, they'll put any like sort of Loch Ness related crime on there. And what I did wasn't that big of a deal, but I also rather not say. Anyway. Yeah.
Well,
that being said, if you suspect somebody's been beating off in your pool.
Yeah. I thought I was safe because all the websites I visited had a 2257 code to prove that all the Loch Nesses I'm looking at were of age.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that the Loch Nesses weren't underage and also were consenting. But also, I mean, there's no real way to know. Honestly, I put a lot of the blame on the websites themselves. I have a problem. Yeah. Anyway, it's nice to meet you. I'm having a barbecue if you want.
Yeah. Do you like raw bars?
Do you like raw bars? I love fish.
Well, the term that psychologists came to coin was called expectant attention, which is a pretty cool idea, expectant attention, which means that when people expect to see something, they are more likely to misinterpret visual cues. To be the thing that they expect to see.
It's like when men go to the bar, they're like, I'm going to see a lot of ladies that want me. And then you're like, oh, yeah, they all. And then the lady's like, none of us want you.
Yeah, that is very much what expected intention is. Mm-hmm.
This is when comedians think they always crush. So see another one. You're like, was it?
That's why anyone that says I was hilarous, I'm like, no, you weren't.
Look at this grainy photo of me crushing. You're like,
God, it's like so uncomfortable.
Looks like people are leaving in the background. Yeah. They're like, I think they're walking in. You can't tell which direction they're moving. It's a picture. Right.
They're walking in backwards.
I'm sure it's happened to you guys, but like, you know, you do a set with a friend and then you're driving back or something.
And you go, should I kill myself?
You think you had a good set, but
you
your
both
friend,
say it at the same time.
Your friend definitely did not have a good set.
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah, because then you can't even talk about how good
you're like,
stinks.
Oh, no, you don't talk about it because you're like, he bombed. I didn't.
Yeah.
But then your friend, this happened to me, and person's like, yeah, I think we had the best sets of the night, you and I. And I'm like, oh fuck.
Oh yeah, don't lump me into your bullshit.
Who was it?
Oh, you know.
Was it me?
No, you guys know.
I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Who are you going to? Who are you driving to shows with?
Ah, man. Probably years ago. This is years ago, man. This is years ago.
This but happened yesterday.
Sam's trying to get some info.
I bet in the chat.
Not riding, anybody in the COVID car. I mean, it's a solo mission these days, man. All right.
I definitely had that before. You're like, you're just sitting there in silence, and they go, "We crushed." And you go, I did have a good set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Also, you were there.
Yeah.
You bitch.
Oh yeah, that's accurate. Yeah. Thanks for posting
that
in the chat.
I rode with Jeremy. I rode with Jeremy to a show, and it was a contest show, and he won, and I did not even place, and that was.
Oh, that's tough.
That was absolutely brutal.
Oh, God.
That's tough.
That was absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
That's terrible, man.
I did a show in Wilmington, and I went first, and I completely bombed. And there's like these Marines in the front row videotaping me bomb. And I just couldn't stop complaining about all night. And then one comedian who was a friend of mine just stopped being my friend. I was like, that's great.
You bombed so bad you lost a friend.
Yeah, that's
great. Wow, imagine if someone was filming you guys while you guys were killing a bunch of innocent Iraqis. Jeez. Is this what we do now?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is that about this this DNA study is that after this DNA study kind of stamped it, people started to dig a little deeper into
that person that happened to with you is the same person that happened to with me.
That's crazy.
So classic.
Classic.
Sorry.
Classic.
But sorry,
okay. So anyway.
Or her.
Him or her.
They.
They. Caitlyn Jenner.
People started looking at this DNA study a little closer, and they were like, you know what? This thing doesn't really make sense because we know for a fact that there are seals and otters in Loch Ness. It's not up for debate. People often think the otters and seals are what people are seeing and mistaking. They think the underwater fins are just seal fins. They think the V-shaped waves are just a big seal ripping through the loch. But the DNA study didn't detect any mammals or any seals or otter DNA in the water.
Mm.
So they were like, that doesn't really make sense. And then if you discount a couple things that were a little bit ambiguous, basically 20% of the DNA collected was, quote, unexplained. So they're like, well, this isn't really as, I mean, scientifically, they might say, you could say we don't have any DNA evidence, but you can't rule out the possibility, right? And there was a much, much higher presence of eel DNA than they expected, because one of the things that skeptics have said is that what could possibly Nessie be feeding on? What would a large dinosaur be feeding on? And people were like, eels.
Yeah.
And then scientists were like, there's not eels in Loch Ness, at least not to the quantity you would need.
Not to the eelth degree that you would.
Oh God.
I don't even know.
Oh my God.
I don't know what that.
Sham's
what
gonna say we're doing short form improv all week.
Yeah, I back at UCB. They're building. They're out of business, but I'm in there. How hilarious is that? Just it's an abandoned office building, and I'm just in a room. I'm in a mirrored studio, going, "Oh, hey, anybody else on my blimp?" And then I go, "Yeah, I'm on the blimp. I'm the blimp guy." And they're like, "Please, sir, you need to leave this building." I'm like, "I paid $500 for this."
And then you're like, "185 eels walked into a bar, and they were like, 'We don't serve eels at this bar.'" And they said,
"They don't serve me to the eelth degree."
There
you're
you
like,
go.
What is this eelth degree thing?
Yeah,
like,
what the hell is this?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I built. So here's the thing: I make the shirts first, then I try to figure out how to work them into a bit. And I made a bunch of to the eelth degree shirts, and even the shirt company called me when I put the order in. They go, "Hey, we don't normally do this, but we just wanted to make sure that it's not like a typo or just what you know." Because I mean, you ordered 500 of these shirts.
What's worse is like they correct it for you because they think they're helping you out, and you get them. You're like, God damn it!
The sealth degree.
Yeah, what is this? I gotta
write
a new joke.
What does that even mean? I gotta change my whole improv set.
Well, one thing that is clear, whether Nessie was real or not, is that sightings of Nessie have dramatically fallen off, like to the point where they're not really seen. And
Nessie's dead.
Yeah, that's the theory.
Oh,
and
man.
Remember what Stormbringer said is you need about 500, animals to sustain a population, right? Remember he talked about the
yeah, that was pretty interesting.
It was, and So there's a lot of theories about why
if you have
we
400,
know.
Do you still have the population? But they're like wildly inbred.
No, that's one of the theories about Nessie is that they just ran out of males.
Yeah,
and they were just inbred and got really stupid. And
Deuce Bigelow, male Loch Ness monster, hello. I could have done better with that.
I don't know. Do you need most animals have more males or females? Like females.
I know people are like 50-50 skewing slightly towards women.
Yeah.
What about not humans?
I don't know, but I know some species, if there aren't enough males, females will turn into males.
No.
Hey, what's up?
What? Mm-hmm. Not humans. I'm not talking about humans.
I'm talking about
animals.
And they'll turn into, how do they turn into?
There's trans animals.
They're not, no, they turn completely into that.
That's what trans is. What are you saying? Women aren't women?
I'm saying they didn't choose to have a reassignment surgery.
Their parts change?
Yeah.
That's in Jurassic Park. That's like amphibians do that. Frogs.
Yeah, amphibians, frogs do that. Yeah. And then I think there's also, there have been cases of like.
Wasn't that what Anthony Bourdain's documentary was about?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, really? Unknown parts.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Thank you guys, everybody.
He's back.
That's all my time, everybody. Yep. I've been Sam Asano. You're going to enjoy the rest of this show.
And he runs off stage. Clapping.
Start the car. So you're okay. Whatever this Nessie is. And by the way, they have a name for Nessie. If it's actually ever discovered, its name's been preordained, chosen.
Nessiosaur?
No, it's something stupid like that, though.
Yeah,
it's something really dumb.
Biggest fishes.
So maybe the males died out. They moved. Maybe they got inbred. Maybe they ran out of food. Maybe the food supply dwindled.
The last Loch Ness monster was a girl boss.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're pretty sure. Cool. They're pretty sure. But here's the interesting
thing. Green glasses
and
blue hair and ran a comedy show.
Here's the thing.
Two inside baseball.
All right.
Here's the thing that I think, this idea that Loch Ness is not the only lake monster that looks remarkably like a plesiosaurus, right?
Yeah.
They appear, in fact, all over the world. Lake Tota in Colombia has a description of a similar monster.
Totiness?
No, I couldn't find the name of a couple of these.
One of those pictures of me just doing the backstroke hard as fuck. Look at that giant snake creature.
Howick Falls in South Africa has a giant lake monster that looks like, described much like Nessie. Lake Van, that one is called Vanny. And there's many lakes in the U.S. Ooh, Tessie.
Stick it in me, Vanny.
Tessie in Lake Tahoe. Bessie in Lake Erie.
Dude, these names suck.
Yeah, why couldn't they just give them? I wouldn't want to be named after this something that came before me.
Archibald.
What?
Yeah, give me a fresh name. Yeah.
Well, the most famous, perhaps, is Champ.
There we go.
In Lake Champlain, which is on the U.S. Canada border, the Champ,
and the
reason Champ is so important is because Champ, Champ's name and his origin date back to the very discovery of the lake by European. His name was Samuel de Champlain.
Yeah, Champlain. Pretty interesting dude, actually.
Yeah, he was. And in 1609, he...
Why?
I don't remember. I read about it at one point.
He journaled and he discovered a lot of that area. And he saw
a sea serpent
with large coils and scales that reflected in the sunlight. He described that in his journal as he discovered the area.
I love a guy that likes to lie.
Well,
I love
putting
bullshit in my journal, hoping somebody reads it at some point and they go, "What the fuck, you got?"
Yeah, what the fuck?
And their seminal work exploring the world's most elusive creatures, authors Benjamin Radford and Joe Nickel, talk about the most famous photo of any one of these lake monsters is actually of the Lake Champlain monster. It's called the Mancy photo, which is the last name of the woman that took it. And the reason that it's such an important photo is because.
Mancy sounds like a slur for somebody, for a gay man.
Mancy?
He's being Nancy. It's like when you call somebody
he's
Nancy.
He's being a Mancy.
Yeah, it's a little. It's a little.
I guess Nancy is just what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, it's a good photo. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really good photo. The Mancy photo. I quote: "The Mancy photo stands alone as the most credible and important photographic evidence of the existence of lake monsters because it is held in such high regard by so many writers and researchers.
Okay,
like its authenticity is not in doubt. There are a few problems with the Mancy photo." Most notably, that the woman that took the photo.
My autocorrect it to Nancy
has a mullet
photo, and now I have a bunch of pictures of Pelosi on my screen.
Is it M-A-N-S-I?
M-A-N-S-I.
M-A-N-S-I.
Oh, that's, Nancy. Yeah. Well,
she has a sick mullet.
Yeah, she has a great, she's a great haircut.
Well, that's,
but she destroyed the negative, which guys were like, we really need the negative.
Why would you do that?
And that's what their point was. She's like, well, we always destroyed the negatives. Kind of like Tom Brady was like, I always destroy my cell phone. Right. Every few days I get a new cell phone. I destroy the old one.
And, it's not a burner. It's a crusher.
Yeah.
It is a very shiny thing.
Remember Champlain said that it reflected the sunlight, the scales. So, yeah.
Oh, and why Champlain is interesting. Look up the history of Champlain and Acadia National Park. If you're curious about history.
Well, so this photo is, she destroyed the negatives. And then people were like, well, look, since you don't have the negative, what we're trying to find out is the scale of this, which we can't tell from your picture, you know, because that's the problem with this stuff is like back in, you guys remember, you guys.
Yeah, banana Sam, for scale.
You don't remember this, Sam, but like, he was just to shoot off a roll of film. He had no fucking idea what was on here. You're like, I don't know if that came out. I don't know if I was, I took a picture accidentally. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, you got it developed and you're like, ooh, look at, oh, that kind of looks like a monster, but it really,
somebody took the camera, took a bunch of pictures.
Oh, that's just
dick.
Yeah.
That's just a seal's dick.
It's like when people used to take nudes on film, they had to go get them developed. You're like,
oh, that was the worst.
That's how you go. That's how you go flirt with the guy that works at the camera. You go, you put a picture of your dick and then you take a picture. You say, will you fuck me? And then you just stand there while he develops
and
you
just wait for the cops to get you.
And then you shrug and you go,
yeah, remember that old, that was a great urban myth story where these people came home and their house had been robbed. People took everything except their camera and their toothbrushes.
Oh, no.
So they brushed their teeth, went to bed, took the camera, the film to the store, and then they got the photos back. And it was just pictures of the thieves with their toothbrushes up their butts.
Oh,
now here's my thing. Wouldn't you notice immediately?
Yeah, don't you smell your toothbrush before you use it? I know I do.
I even smell it. Just,
what a terrible day, and my toothbrush tastes like shit.
Yeah, you put it in, you go, whoa, whoa. Okay. Like,
I don't know. Some people don't recognize the taste of shit as much.
Yeah, I mean, I've never tasted it, so I wouldn't know.
I would recognize
I have eaten it at Arby's, so you're right.
Yeah,
I would recognize Bojangles not tea has, right.
There's a ton of poop in Bojangles tea.
Really?
Oh,
some
yeah, that
good
got
tea.
That's got the highest fecal matter of any.
Hey, while we're on the subject of Bojangles, I think North Carolina has a real problem where they gaslight the population into thinking Bojangles is better than Popeyes.
Yeah, I don't know. My wife hates, she doesn't like Popeyes.
Foolish.
And I got to go get that chicken sandwich. I might do that for lunch.
Popeyes is good as fuck.
Well, it is good. All right. Well, that brings us to our current subject.
Didn't want
to
get into it.
There's been a recent development in this search for lake monsters involving a lake in Madison, Wisconsin, known as Lake Mendota, which has its own long history about a mysterious creature there. It dates back to the Potawatomi natives.
Okay.
Potawatomi. Okay. And then in 18, so they had mythology about a giant sea creature. 1860, a couple reported hitting a log in the lake, and then the log woke up and then like started moving and like swam under the boat. And it was, you know, according to them, quite large.
Oh.
And then 20 years later, crazy story. A couple was out on a boat and a 25-foot, what they described as a 25-foot gigantic black snake came at their boat, started to try to come on board. They tried to beat it back with their oars to no avail. The monster was relentless. until the husband grabbed a hatchet that he had with him and started hacking at the beast until it slithered back into the water, not to be seen.
Dang. He was probably just, he probably couldn't swim. He was like, I got to get on this boat.
I mean, he kept him from it. I'm so tired.
Yeah. I guess that's back in the day where you just brought a hatchet with you wherever you went. Surely you're not. Why would you have a hatchet on a boat?
You got it for firewood. Maybe you're traversing. Maybe you're Lewis and Clark.
Imagine that's how you found out that guy was about to kill you.
Yeah, I know, right? Why do you have a hatchet,
Oh, fuck,
Steve?
It's a monster. And he starts fucking just shooting him with a machine gun. And you're like, what the fuck, what the Steve?
Yeah.
Well. He's like, oh, yeah, dude. Good thing I had it, right?
Yeah. Only way to stop a bad sea snake is a good guy,
with a gun. And they go, what? What's that saying?
Yeah. Well,
Look at the sunset, Steve.
In 1917, a student at the local university, he came across a scale, like a scale. Like a reptilian scale of unusual size and thickness that he brought to the labs of the university. And they were like, this is marine in nature. This is a sea serpent scale or something of gigantic. Of course the scale has been lost, but the stories of it, have persisted throughout the department. Probably the craziest story I read about this, Lake Mendota monster, is this kind of crazy. I thought it was kind of a funny story, is that this couple was laying on a dock on the lake. Behind, like a frat house had a dock on the lake.
Yeah.
And must not have been very narrow because they were laying like kind of like opposite with their feet hanging off the sides of the dock. They were kind of
so it's just a board
head. Yeah, it wasn't very big. And she heard a splash and she's like, oh, my boyfriend must go for a swim. But she was, you know, just sort of laying there quiet.
Okay.
And then she felt him tickling her toes and she was splashing the water and she kind of kicked at it and was like, stop. And then he did it again. And then again, she's like, stop it. And then she looks up and he's laying on the dock sound asleep. And she looks down and there's this giant black animal like nipping at her feet.
Oh boy.
And
he just wanted a taste.
Yeah. A little foot fetish creature. But then it all got blown wide open recently because
let me suck them toes.
And the first week or so of April, I think April 7th is when the article was written. The Wisconsin newspaper reported that a group of students found an unknown giant egg on the shores of Lake Mendota.
Oh.
And that egg is currently being researched right now by the University of Wisconsin under incredibly heightened security.
Gosh. Now, good time they got it before the Will It Fry guys from YouTube.
Mr. Beast, we found a giant egg on the banks of Loch Ness. I'm going to try to eat an omelet. Yes.
Here's I'm going to make my friend eat it raw for $5,000. And he's like, please don't. My mother is sick. Can you please?
I live in Greenville, North Carolina. Help.
Being said, Mr. Beast, we'd love to be a part of any endeavors here.
Absolutely.
So here's the problem with this story is, and I can't figure this out. And I did try, is I originally was turned on to this story because a group of students also spotted a strange commotion on the surface of Lake Mendota that looked like a monster. And then as the follow-up, they found the egg about 7 days later. But when I went back to look at those articles, I noticed for the first time that the original article was published on April 1st.
Oh,
wow. So I'm just
on
like,
my anniversary?
You tell me you just wasted a fucking hour of my time.
I know, right?
I'm like, is that...
Is any of this real? Is the podcast real?
Oh, my God.
So I was like, damn it. This is... I got... But I think that's part
you
of the issue.
You should be better at this kind of stuff, considering this is what you've been doing for 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's just hard sometimes.
Yeah, no offense.
I always check the date.
Well, you get down into the rabbit hole... And
what's that thing? What's that thing where you want to see the thing that you see?
Bias?
No. The thing we talked about today.
Expected attention expected.
That's what happened to you.
Yeah, no, but wait. Let me recover though. Is that I have a theory though, because yes. I think this egg story and this, I mean, it fits into Lake Mendota. I mean, the Lake Mendota monster is a well-known cryptoid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the latest.
That's the word.
I don't know what the I don't know if the latest story is I was thinking if your species runs out of enough animals so that you have to inbreed, then there's a somewhat offensive term for those kind of cryptids.
Yeah, it's got to be funny to be the first animal to suggest it, where you're like, hey sis, I think we're dropping below the level where I should have sex with somebody outside of the family. I just don't know if it's possible now. So anyway, I can get up in those Loch Ness guts. Oh, that is a good word.
That's a great word.
I think we're at the end of the podcast. You throw it in there.
Okay. I was saying inbred cryptids are called cryptards, which is
that's great. That's good.
That's hot.
I don't know. People say cutard, you know.
Do they?
Yeah, if you're making fun of somebody.
What circles you run into?
I don't know. I think that was too good to not, you know.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
But here's my theory here is that these things show up all over. And one thing I noticed about the places that have the most sightings of these giant plesiosaur looking cryptids is that they all have access to the ocean, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like the Great Lakes have access to the ocean, the falls in South Africa and Colombia. And it reminded me that I don't know if you guys know this, but they recently mapped out this cave in Mexico that's like 230 miles long, this underwater cave.
Oh, wow.
And they went down there and they found gigantic sloth skeletons.
Whoa.
I mean, like 40, 50 foot giant sloths.
Yeah, they had no chance of getting out of there when it started getting wet.
Yeah. So it made me wonder if perhaps what we're seeing is we're seeing essentially a gigantic cave-like structure that allows these animals to move to different locations in search of food. And that maybe...
Oh, your girlfriend's vagina?
Shit! There it is. So maybe
a cave-like structure.
I mean, we have hypothesized before on this podcast that there is a underground cavern-like life that exists below the surface, and maybe these caves and these animals are part of that ancient history.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, because it seems suspicious to me that there are so many sightings in so many lakes. And again, maybe it is explained all by this expected attention. But I don't know, man, it's remarkable to me. And then again, maybe the thing is that we've never really found the things you would expect to see, which is like a layer or a dead carcass on the side of the road, or, you know, a verifiable scale or remains or a tooth or something. But
yeah, which is, I'm curious about that, because I think that, I don't know how deep Loch Ness is. We said it was pretty deep. I would assume that about at the bottom of the lake, it's anaerobic, so nothing would decay down there. And maybe that explains why we're not getting any of their DNA, is because it's not actually decaying.
Oh, that's interesting. I know that
perfectly preserved down there.
Yes. I know that they have found they have found strange biological life forms in the Great Lakes that they did not think could exist anywhere except in the ocean.
Oh.
So I guess the point being is that there might be a closer link between large inland freshwater and the ocean that we don't quite understand, which might allow certain things to happen in giant freshwater lakes that we just don't understand yet. Like support a massive marine life somehow.
Yeah, it's like a subway system for all the lakes and shit underground.
Yeah. I mean, is it that unthinkable that a gigantic aquatic reptile could somehow go undetected? It seems like it comes up a lot,
but not enough for it to get noticed enough. Like, why is it coming up? When it comes up, why is it coming up?
I think it's coming up.
Fool's Day.
I think, yeah.
If it's coming up to breathe, then it's
It doesn't come
imagine
up.
Imagine it's doing it.
I don't think it comes up to breathe. I think it can survive without coming up. I think it comes up to hunt. I think it comes up because it's chasing fish, and then it realizes it's on. I mean, it doesn't really care that it's on the surface, but I just think that it prefers the dark, cold depths of the ocean like certain marine creatures do.
Right? Okay. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean,
someone in our chat said this is the plot of Godzilla versus Kong.
It is. Dude. It's a good
That's
movie.
Amazing. I need to see it.
It's good for
I haven't watched it. I haven't watched Mortal Kombat. I haven't watched that one.
Yeah, there's a funny twist about the Kongs in that movie.
Oh yeah.
It sounds like you're about to say something.
Is it a spoiler?
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a spoiler. Stupid as hell, so I don't really need to like worry about that. But
this is what the plot is that it turns out that these are just these Godzillas are just
by Hollow Earth.
Oh, it is.
Nice. Yeah.
Then the Kongs are like smart.
Hollywood needs to hire us.
Like he has like he gets like a giant axe.
You go through 50% of our
ancient Kong axe.
Oh no, this is like Bumblebee smoking a cigar and Transformers.
I enjoyed it. It was a pretty fun movie. It's really stupid, but I like that it's stupid.
It doesn't take itself seriously because I can handle that.
It never explains itself twice. It's like. Didn't get it the first time. That's okay. Yeah. We didn't get it the first time either.
We're moving.
Yeah, they don't ever try to like really explain stuff. Like, listen, King Kong is from the inside of the Earth, and you have to take a portal to get there. Like, why is the portal there? Like, dude, we explained it.
Yeah, but Michael Bay, I have questions.
But he has to take a. Why would there be a portal inside? Like, why are you asking this?
Yeah, duh. Get
don't
on board.
You just want to see the cool CGI vistas?
Yeah, suspend your disbelief, dummy.
Yeah,
we got to go soon. I got to go have sex with Melinda Gates.
Oh yeah, go to that beach house. Check out that wood paneling,
dude. I leave this episode really conflicted on Loch Ness. You know, what's his name? The leader of Great Britain. What's that guy's name?
Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson.
Well, if he believes in it, it's definitely fake.
No, what Boris Johnson said is that he really wants to believe. Like as a kid, he believed.
Why
and even
does
as
he
adult,
even come
a part
up?
Of him?
Yeah, why? Why is he commenting on that anyway?
I think someone probably asked him, "Do you believe in Loch Ness?" And I think
he said,
really
"Are you guys? What are you wacky?"
Yeah, I believe in a Loch Ness. It's a lake.
What are you?
But the monster, on the other hand.
Yeah, I think he said as a kid he was really into it as a kid, and scientists have said
you almost don't want your president to say that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I was really into some stupid shit as a kid. You're like, God,
yeah, I used to hunt for fairies.
Before
I got into politics.
Yeah, like, well, that doesn't bode well, does it?
No, I think that belief in something supernatural is an appealing quality, especially in a country where like an ungodly number of Brits and even higher number of Scots believe the Loch Ness is real. But they have a vested interest in it being real.
Right,
that's my problem.
It's like if the Outer Banks lost their beach, they'd be fucked. They're going to keep that there as long as possible.
Yeah, Outer Banks keeps telling
what
people
what is
that
America
there's a
without our
there.
Guns? Like we got to have a monster, you know?
Yeah, they keep saying this is a good beach. And you go, is it?
Mm-hmm. Is it though?
It's definitely a good beach here.
It's definitely a beach.
You go, okay.
Okay, well, prove it.
Why
gotta
would
come
you
here
lie
to
me, you son of a bitch?
Yeah, I think I don't know. There's so many lakes. I wonder if people just want there to be a monster. Then there's that guy. You guys ever watch that show River Monsters? That's a crazy show.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, maybe it's a big catfish with one of those big dangler guys on the top.
Yeah, just an angry seal.
That's my
out
final
there.
Thought.
Just
I think
going
it might
around.
Just be a big catfish with a big.
It
dangler
could be.
On.
That's there's a video that came out in Albania or something recently of like a video from a very far away, and you could see a V-shaped thing, and it's like giant things jumping out of the water, and like that's probably a 1,000-pound catfish.
In fact, it's the big catfish from Hey Arnold.
Oh.
What is
that? Was
Arnold?
Beyond my time. It's a cartoon.
It's a TV show. You guys are fucking old as shit.
Dude, we're old. I watched Galaxy High.
Arthur? Was that his name? Arthur?
No, that show's called Arthur.
This is Arnold.
This show is about a guy named Arnold.
What's that show with gummy bears that had bouncing gummy bears in it?
Smurfs?
Yep.
That was a dumbass show, the gummy bears.
Dude, I love that. I love that.
It was a show about a candy.
Yeah, but it wasn't about the candy.
I mean, it was. I mean,
it's like Seinfeld's not about not nothing.
All right, look, we're off the rails. This has been the Loch Ness. This
is fun. I like this. Is what I want to do more of, because like I think for a while we've had to do politics for a while, but I this is the fun stuff that like really leads to the fun riffs, is the crazy shit that we can't explain, and sometimes you don't need an explain, even if it's an April Fool's. Sometimes. It's still a fun story.
Yeah,
sometimes the Loch Ness is the friends that we made along the way.
That's right.
Well, yeah,
I leave here very
conflicted on Loch Ness. Yeah. I'm just gonna say that. I don't know what I think anymore.
I think it's fake. Next.
Okay. I
feel like you'd see him. Why are we seeing this guy?
It did disappear mysteriously when like video cameras
got good.
It's like,
well, yeah, because these same idiots that were faking it started doing it with like iPhones, and like, we're gonna have to tell people this thing disappeared.
Yeah. We got him.
Yeah, there's no way that they're gonna fall for this.
The jig is up. Isn't that what they say? The jig is up.
I said that. I go, the jig, yeah, and that's a famous Irish saying.
Oh, yeah. Like the dance is over.
They're jigging.
Oh, is that what that's about?
The dance is over. Sense. The jig is up.
The jig is up.
Man.
The dance is done.
Yeah, yeah. The lambada is finale.
Sam swims out of the water, pulls the mask off the Loch Ness, and it's
Loch disco best. Is no go.
That's right.
You're the Loch best around.
All right. Any more final thoughts before we bounce out of here, guys?
No, I like this one. I hope Nessie's still alive, and I believe in a cave.
I just
want to
fucking find it. Dead, I just want to find. I just want one of these. I've said this before. I want one of these. I want a tooth from a fucking werewolf, or
I hope he's dead.
I want a dick from a plesiosaur or something.
I hope he's dead like the dog he is.
You know. Oh, you know what I will say? I didn't mention this, but this does make some sense to me. Is Mancy, who took that photograph, she was called out by skeptics by saying that she doesn't have the negative and she won't tell us where she took the photo. And she later told somebody that she did that because she didn't want the hunt for Champ to end up killing off Champ. And there are people that express that like,
I love him,
but she still kept the photo, just don't show people the photo.
I love him so
much. She did, and she also tried to profit off the photo. But I do see somebody saying, like, you know, yeah, I saw Bigfoot, but I don't want to tell people because Bigfoot just deserves to live in peace. We don't need to, you know.
Absolutely.
As much I want him to catch a Bigfoot or a Nessie and just fucking put it in a zoo and like I can go see it and shit.
That seems mean. Didn't we learn that from King Kong? Don't do that.
No, put him in a zoo. Yeah. We talked to Stackhouse. He says the animals don't even know. They love it.
Stormbringers.
He said the animals love it, dude.
Yeah, they love walking in circles, losing their minds slowly.
They don't even know that there's bigger circles out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, that's been our show. This is Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
Loch Ness Monster. I'm Sam.
Subscribe on YouTube.
Make sure you smash my head against the wall. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for everyone tuned in.
Peace.
See you next time.